Friends, this is Andrew Phipps, Faith Family Freedom, and I appreciate your being part of our broadcast today. And what an honor it is for me to have Frank Shelton out of Washington, D.C. with us on today's programming. Frank Shelton, I have known and heard about him, and I know that he's a Christian patriot, and he's like the energized bunny. He just doesn't stop, keeps going and fighting for the cause of Christ and our great nation. Brother Shelton, what an honor that you would take time out of your schedule and share some of it with us today. We welcome you to our program.
Oh, Brother Andrew, it's my honor. We've been looking to it for a long time. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your heart for God and country. And I think the folks are going to enjoy it today because I know I will.
Well, likewise. And, you know, as a way of bringing us up here to this point in time, I would like for you to introduce yourself to the audience. And that way we collectively and individually can know what Brother Frank Shelton is doing and is all about. If you don't mind, take a moment, just tell the many viewers that we have, both on television, podcast, and other media. We do it all. And I want to know just exactly what your thrust, your goals, and what you've been doing, because I hear about it, and it's all wonderful. People are very excited, and they are appreciative of what you're doing, Brother Shelton.
Well, that means more than you know. Well, praise God. I was born to the wonderful parents of Frank and Sharon Shelton. We're five-generation Washingtonians on Capitol Hill. And I was joking in the green room before we came on. I guess I'm part of the swamp. My mother and dad both worked at the U.S. Capitol pregnant with me. Mom went into labor with me on President's Day weekend, and she thought she was going to give birth to me in the halls of Congress. So I joke, you know, some of you folks may have come to visit or been on a field trip, but some of us were born to work there. Can I get an amen? So I was born President's Day weekend. My mother was born 4th of July. My son was born Inauguration Day, the hour Obama became president. And I joke, you know, if you want to, I believe if you cut the Shelton's veins, they bleed red, white, and blue. Who would have ever thought that loving God and country this late in the game would almost be considered either hate speech or be labeled as a domestic terrorist? It's ridiculous. We come from now five-generation D.C. police. And Brother Andrew, I don't know if you know this, but it was my ancestor who was assigned at the White House, handpicked by Mary Todd Lincoln. And he was two doors down at Ford's Theater the night Lincoln was shot. They tell me the police officer at Lincoln's door had went off to get a drink and came back a little inebriated. But it was a Shelton and two obituaries in Washington. We have them both. That was not only one of the first to respond, but it was a Shelton that helped carry Lincoln across the street. And your viewers and listeners will appreciate this. My ancestor literally held the individual Lincoln in his hands, but you and I continue to hold the ideals of Lincoln throughout the land today. And so I was going to go into politics. I was going to protect the president or preach the gospel. My father ended up becoming the assistant chief of the entire United States Capitol Police. So out of 3,000, my dad was the number two top cop at the federal level in Washington. He protected 8 U.S. presidents. But I worked in 4 White Houses. I was a speechwriter to the House Majority Leader of Congress. I was the youngest in 40 years to work on the floor of the United States Senate. I was an aide to the governor of Maryland. I was a fundraiser for George W. Bush. And I served on both sides of the White House. I worked with 2 Republicans, 2 Democrats. Part of that was for, those were in volunteer capacities. But when I was on the floor of the Senate, I was appointed, only 3 people out of 5,000 worked on the floor of the U.S. Senate. I was one of the 3. They told me I was the youngest in 40 years, and half the day I was with the Republicans as a bipartisan figure, the other half with the Democrats. And I certainly have values, but I wanted more than one political party at my funeral. all that to say, I had gotten ordained. I was an ordained minister. I went from writing speeches for a congressman, sometimes giving them in his absence, to now just preaching all over the country, all over the world. I preached in Europe 4 times this year alone. I spoke in London. We were in Bucharest, Romania. I was at the Olympics as a chaplain for Paris, and then scheduled for Italy. So we're late in the game, but I even was going to join the Secret Service to be 6 consecutive D.C. police. And I felt like the Lord said, I gave you a message. You can't keep it a secret. And although it's noble to protect the president, I need you to warn the general public this late in the game. So I wrote a book called Urgency. Your viewers can go to Amazon. It has an hourglass on the front. The sand of time is about slipped through. And the subtitle is Heaven or Hell. There's no purgatory. And I believe ministry minus urgency equals catastrophe. I tell people if we're not in the bottom of the ninth, we're in the top of the ninth. And I'll just say one more thing. So I left by faith, Andrew. I left retirement, 401k health insurance in 2007. Didn't have a single booking to preach. But I knew he was doing something because my last year with the federal government, full-time with the Congress on staff, even at that time, I was serving with the U.S. Capitol Police. We wore a lot of hats. I preached 100 times in 14 states in 52 weeks with a full-time government job. So there's not a lot of grass growing under my feet, but I left by faith to preach, and I became, you know, an evangelist, and he that wins souls is wise. And then I got picked up for 5 years on staff with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I did 10 of Franklin Graham's 50 state tours, and I was the D.C., Maryland, Delaware coordinator for all of Billy and Franklin Graham. So I'll park the car here, but man, God is good. And I just want to tell your audience, not only is God not dead, God's not done, but we're all in the ministry and we need all hands on deck. And I want to encourage everyone, some preach, but we all can reach. And now's the time to reach others for Christ.
I like that last phrase there. Some preach, but we all can reach. And what a wonderful admonition and a piece of sagacity there for each one of us. Well, let me say this. That is a very impressive background, and I know that you say it to the glory of the Lord. And Brother Shelton, when I think about it, you know, God governs in the affairs of men. Benjamin Franklin had a quote. I've used it before. He said, the older I get, the more of a truth I perceive. That if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, how can empires rise without his aid? And we're in a very critical time. Of course, we've faced critical times before. You know, we've had the, in our history and world history, we know that the church and God's people, God's man, so to speak, there has always been fight against that person. For example, the Bible that Tinsdale was choked and burned at the stake for translating the Word of God into English, and he said he wanted it to where that every plowboy in England could read the Bible for himself. So the history of Christianity is always one of triumphing over opposition and knowing that the Lord's work must truly, as John Kennedy said, must be our own. And let me ask you a question. What do you see? I know that as a believer, you believe the Bible. I know that. But the imminency and the imperative of doing something for our generation, how I know, I'd like to elaborate on that just a little bit, Brother Shelton.
Amen. Well, I would say the Bible is clear. To whom much is given, much is required. The Bible also says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it for God's glory. And, you know, I really believe the saddest story isn't the assassination of an ambassador. It's not the child with cancer. It's not the lady with leukemia. It's not even the death of a devout deacon. I believe the saddest story is the person who had no purpose. You know, when Jesus was 12 years old, the first recorded words of Christ in Luke. His parents lost him at a revival meeting at a, you know, we talk about Home Alone, where they left Kevin behind in Chicago. Well, Mary and Joseph left him behind in church, and they came back a day and a half and found him, and they looked for him sorrowing. And the first words of Jesus, did you not know I had to be about my Father's business? Now, he's not even a teen, but he's already the Trinity. He's right. Just a kid, but he's already the King of Kings. And he was a man with a mission. He was a man with a message. And he was the man who is the Messiah. Acts 4:12, under heaven, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So I was told ministry, Brother Andrew, as you bloom where you're planted. And it just so happened to be that, you know, I was born on Capitol Hill. Mom and Dad worked there as early as I can remember, walking those corridors of Congress and just trying to shine a light. I tell people, whether you work at Walmart as a greeter or you happen to work in the West Wing, the greatest sermon isn't preached Sunday. It's how we live it out Monday through Friday when the real world's watching.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
Embark on a life-changing journey through the ancient lands of Greece, where history and faith collide. Walk in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul as you explore the rich heritage and breathtaking beauty of this remarkable country. Over 11 unforgettable days, experience the vibrant culture and deep spiritual significance of cities like Athens, Corinth, and Thessaloniki. Discover the places where Paul preached, prayed, and penned letters that have inspired millions. From bustling markets to serene temples, this journey offers a unique blend of adventure, reflection, and fellowship. This incredible tour is brought to you by Signature Tours, a company with a family tradition of four generations. With meticulous attention to detail and the best private guides in the industry, Signature Tours ensures an amazing trip. Join Andrew Phipps and his wife Shirley from June 18th through the 28th, 2025, for an experience that will deepen your faith and leave you with memories to last a lifetime. Don't miss this opportunity to connect with history and make new friends on this incredible spiritual journey. Scan the QR code or head over to phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org to learn more and secure your spot today.
Thank you. so much for me. When I see him face to face,
I led a Bible study for 4 years to our lawmakers in our state capitol. And I want to encourage, but maybe even educate some folks who are listening thinking Christians shouldn't be involved in politics. I'm going to break that down right here. That's a lie from hell. You know, we all need to have a marketplace ministry. The first 9 out of 10 converts that the Apostle Paul led to Christ, the first 9 out of 10 were lawmakers, and 3 of them were governors. That's a fact. Wow. It's in the Bible. And so even my boss, Billy Graham, before he'd speak to stadiums, he's getting the key to the city by the mayor or the governor. Now, he pastored 13 presidents, but he knew 12 of them before they were president. He met them when they were a congressman or governor or vice president. Yeah. And as Billy Graham was doing his thing and they were doing their thing, it was all relationship. And now's not the time. America is an eagle. We can't be an ostrich and stick our head in the ground. And, you know, we're on the offense, not the defense. The first 2/3 God's name is go. The first 2 letters of gospel is go. The first 2 letters of good news is go. So we got the green light to get in the game. Christianity is not a spectator sport. And I believe we honor the devil when we're shackled in fear, but we honor the Lord when we step out by faith. So, you know, whether you're a mechanic or a minister, whether you're an accountant or you're a preacher of the gospel, you know, we all got a platform. We all got a pulpit. And I'll just say this to answer your question. You know, we're a billboard for Jesus. It's not Calvin Klein. We represent Christ the King. You know, it's one thing to represent BMW, but we represent the Bible just by the way we walk and talk.
Well, I tell you what, Brother Shelton, you have just articulated something that I think we all need to hear. Back to the your reference there to our being involved, I believe, if I can remember it, I'll pull it off the top of my head. In 1988, the late Mark Hatfield, a senator from Oregon, made these comments. He said, for the Christian man to reason that God does not want him involved in politics because it's too dirty is as insensitive as a Christian doctor refusing to go to an epidemic because there are too many germs there. And I think that gives great clarity to what I'm trying to say. And I like your references there. You know, we all have a sphere of influence. We're to put our light in a candle and not put it under a bushel. And I've said it. I think it's true. I believe that Christianity could survive without America, but I don't know that America can survive without Christianity. You know, when de Tocqueville came here, he didn't praise America. This was in 1820, the Frenchman. He didn't praise America because of our agricultural landscape. He didn't praise it because of our good harbor, or he didn't praise it because our infant industry was getting started. He said that he found the greatness of America when he went out into the villages, the hamlets, and he saw pulpits aflame with preachers preaching on righteousness and judgment to come. And he said, America will become great because it's good. And if it ever ceases to be good, it will cease to be great. So your references, I couldn't have asked for a better description of the immediacy and it being an imperative that we go. You know, I believe this, Brother Shelton. I'm not the deepest theologian, and perhaps I can add a little, but I believe that one day, as believers, that we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema judgment, and we'll give an account of our stewardship. We won't be there for salvation, but we'll be there for what we've done for the cause of Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul said he was debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. And by debtor, he meant, I have a story to tell. I have the gospel to present, and I have to do it. I was born. I was separated from my mother's womb for this cause. And so you have me fired up, Brother Shelton. You have me just, I want to preach a little bit right here myself. But you go ahead, brother, with what you feel the Lord would have you to say.
Amen. Well, I like what you said about the Tocqueville. It's actually true because, you know, if we ever stop being good, we immediately stop being great. I just had the honor to speak to about 1,000 men at a conference called Man Up. And I told them that we will never have God's power on us publicly if we're living a double life and sin privately. You know, there's right. power in purity. So that's why this late in the game, we need to tighten every loose screw in our lives and our mind and our finances and our relationships. You know, this is the time not to play it safe. We got to sound the alarm and preach Jesus saves. Yeah, you're right. You know, what breaks my heart is 9,000 churches in America the year before COVID. So the pandemic couldn't be an excuse. 9,000 churches in America in 2019 preached 52 weeks and not one person was baptized in a calendar year. You mentioned, wow. you know, I thank God for those in the ministry, but those who are woke to culture are asleep to Christ. This isn't the time to cower or cave or capitulate. We can't compromise. We can't cut corners. You know, we got to preach the true gospel, the authentic gospel. And, you know, right or wrong, you said it best. I think it was Wesley said he wanted to be so on fire for Jesus that folks would drive from miles around to watch him burn. You know, when they recently had the fire at the great First Baptist Dallas, I preached twice at First Baptist Dallas to their entire youth. And when that old word, W.A. Criswell, was, as you know, it burned to the ground, but the only thing remaining was the pulpit and the Bible. The Word of God endures forever. It's a consuming fire. But you know what? Ministers can be a blessing or a burden, and some of them are to blame to actually not preach righteousness. They preach a greasy gospel. Some even go as far as to say there's multiple ways to heaven when Christ is the only way. And I had a state senator in my Bible study tell me a couple years ago with tears. He said, Frank, number one, I consider you my pastor. And I said, well, you have a local one. I'm not trying to take over. He said, no. He preaches from the pulpit to our entire congregation that we shouldn't be involved in the public arena. And I told my own pastor with tears, just where God's called you to preach, he's called me to the public square to shine a light. And he said, my own pastor thinks I'm playing games. He goes, this is a mission field. And then to get folks either say that they shouldn't vote. You know, I just had Governor Mike Huckabee on my show. And you know, we're up to a point now where over, I think it was 30 plus million evangelicals didn't even vote. So you don't have to steal an election if the people of faith don't even show up. And so that's kind of shame on us. Even Jesus said, render to Caesar's what Caesar's. So I just believe we need to get in the game, shine a light day or night. And we got to point people to truth, righteousness. And I'll just say this. There's one camp that's for death and destruction and the demise of not only America, but the family and the unborn. But the Lord is light, love, and liberty. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So I'm going to be linked to not only the Lord, but the leadership of Lincoln.
Do you have trouble finding King James scripture items? Has your local Christian bookstore closed down like ours has? Do you have trouble finding things for events at church or personal items for at home? Well, this is the reason I created Kinsman & Company. It is a totally King James scripture product store. And today, I'm glad to announce that we now have scripture cards. These have King James scripture on them. They're blank on the inside. And they have beautiful scriptures on the outside. And so these right here, these are the Woodland Friends. And they all have encouraging scripture that you could send to your friends and family with a little note inside to say how much you care. I also have, besides the Woodland Friends, I have this beautiful garden collection. They come in a nice box. There's 12 in here. Four designs, and you get three of each design with white envelopes. And then also, I have the lemon and lavender, which is so beautiful, that comes the same way. So anyway, if you're looking for a card that has King James scripture on it, please go to my website. It's Kinsman, as in the Kinsman Redeemer, K-I-N-S-M-A-N, and company.shop. And you can shop there, and you can find summer sales right now. Thank you.
Andrew Phipps has been part of the WHMB television family for decades now. And as the general manager of the station for the past 28 years, I've had the chance to get to know Andrew quite well. Needless to say, I was very excited when I heard Andrew had written a new book titled It's Always a Struggle, But. This new book sums up Andrew's life story written in a way that only Andrew can tell. From early survival and great loss to eventual success and many aspects of his life, Andrew Phipps, an award-winning educator, speaker, and broadcaster, takes readers on a personal journey. This journey shows how a second chance, along with unwavering faith and hard work, changed the course of his life and can change yours. Each page in Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, brings valuable life lessons, homespun humor, inspiration, Christian principles, and a reminder to never lose sight of the transformational power of God in our daily lives. The book will remind you to be grateful for all things and to see the hand of God in all opportunities that surround us in every season of life. Remember, It's Always a Struggle, But, by Andrew Phipps.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Well, again, I'm here with Brother Frank Shelton, a Christian evangelist, patriot, one who has a solid background by living up on Capitol Hill and his associations, his the longevity of his family, being involved and involved in the affairs of our nation is legendary. And I feel and count it such an honor that Brother Shelton would take time for me out here in the Midwest where corn and soybeans and all like that grows. And he's used to the metropolitan city of Washington, D.C. But Brother Shelton, I want you to continue the dialogue that we had from the other interview. And we're talking about the necessity of involvement. I believe that it was Edmund Burke who said that all that was necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Thomas Jefferson also said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be. John Adams said, if men were angels, no government would be necessary, but we're not angels. And so you're talking and you're going and you're speaking on the nation and you're doing what you feel that you can do, humanly speaking. But I'd like you to continue on the dialogue there about and speak to us as individuals. Sometimes, you know, maybe those of us that just do menial things, sometimes we may think it can't make a difference. But I think whether we are hairdressers or barbers or Uber drivers or whether we work at Walmart or whether we are a greeter at church, you know, I like what you said about the First Baptist Church of Dallas. I've had Dr. Criswell, some of his tapes on our program in W.A. Criswell. What a giant among the faith. And so, Brother Shelton, if you can pick up here where the ball has landed, I'd like you to continue with that.
Well, thank you. Well, first of all, I think it's a lot more fun being in Indiana than Capitol Hill. That's where the real people are, and I just love it out there. And just God bless all of you. Yeah, well, one thing I'll share with you, Brother Andrew, is, you know, you'll never reach a million people if you don't talk to one. You know, there was an old saying, an investor said, you'll never save $1 million until you keep the first one. And I think a lot of times some people just feel like they can't make a big difference. They may never have a big crowd or a big microphone, so they don't even try. But here's the beauty of not only the gospel, but our Savior. Jesus would speak to 5,000 one night. He's with 4,000 another night. But darn if he's not with a woman at the well. He's with Nicodemus at night. He's going out on a limb with a guy named Zacchaeus, and they're screaming, don't you know this guy is a sinner? And I've often thought, what kind of Savior would he be if he didn't gravitate to sinners? And even right on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, his dying act, he was going after one. My dad graduated from the FBI Academy years ago, and they had a thing called the 10 Most Wanted. And I want to encourage your viewers, your audience, your listeners, write the name of 10 friends today. 10, not 10 million, not 10,000, 10. I believe God is not only a professional Savior, he's a personal Savior. I had a farmer tell me years ago, Andrew, and you'll like this, from Indiana. He said with tears, he said, Frank, you'll never see a harvest until you learn to water your crops. And then he said, when's the last time you've cried yourself to sleep with a burden for one? You know, in the world's term, one is not a big number, but in heaven, one is a very big number. The Bible says the angels rejoice every time one more sinner gets saved. Amen. So here's the catch. You know, you said it best, whether you're running errands or you're at the gas station or you're at the dentist's office reading a magazine and just trying to befriend the person next to you, you can reach one. And, you know, to the world, you may just be one, but to the one you reach, it may feel like the world to them. So I just want to encourage folks, we're all in the ministry. Some of us preach, some of us teach, but we all can reach. And I still believe the greatest sermon isn't said Sunday. It's just shining a light Monday, because that's where Jesus is, and that's where the real world is.
Well, we need some watchmen on the wall, and I think about that verse in Matthew 24, where the Bible says, "And they knew not until the flood came." Mm. And people can't hear without a preacher. And a preacher can't do his job unless he be sent, and he has to be sent into the world. And for the thing that we have, good news, the good news of the gospel that you said, the first two letters, G-O, go, we tell people, Brother Shelton, that one left the glory world, that he came to this earth, died, was buried, rose again, so that men, women, boys and girls can have life and have it more abundantly. I tell people, I said, well, the Lord is the God-man. He was a man in the fact that he could sleep, but God in the fact that he could come out of that sleep and rebuke the wind. He Amen. Was a man in the fact that he could eat, but he was God in the fact that he could feed 5,000. He was man in the fact that he would die, but God in the fact that he would rise from the grave. And you have me excited, my brother. I'm going to have to put
that's a speech. That's right? My kind of preaching. Yeah.
Mike Lindell here. And like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
Embark on a life-changing journey through the ancient lands of Greece, where history and faith collide. Walk in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul as you explore the rich heritage and breathtaking beauty of this remarkable country. Over 11 unforgettable days, experience the vibrant culture and deep spiritual significance of cities like Athens, Corinth, and Thessaloniki. Discover the places where Paul preached, prayed, and penned letters that have inspired millions. From bustling markets to serene temples, this journey offers a unique blend of adventure, reflection, and fellowship. This incredible tour is brought to you by Signature Tours, a company with a family tradition of four generations. With meticulous attention to detail and the best private guides in the industry, Signature Tours ensures an amazing trip. Join Andrew Phipps and his wife, Shirley, from June 18th through the 28th, 2025, for an experience that will deepen your faith and leave you with memories to last a lifetime. Don't miss this opportunity to connect with history and make new friends on this incredible spiritual journey. Scan the QR code or head over to phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org to learn more and secure your spot today.
Well, anyway, my brother, we have people, and God's going to always have the faithful. It may not be the numbers that some of us would think, but God can work through one person as well as that's in his corner. I mean, did it ever occur to any of us that nothing ever occurs to God? He saw you and myself doing this interview before the first bird ever chirped in the Garden of Eden. He saw it. He sees it all. I mean, nothing hidden from him. And so we have a great story to tell. You know, Brother Frank, I just feel like that maybe sometimes I'm at the bottom of the totem pole, but I'm willing just to rest where the Lord would have me. I've been given some great opportunities. I've met some of the best of the best, whether they're preachers, political leaders, business people, And, you know, I just came from very humble beginnings. My mother was almost 43 years old when I was born. She didn't know a subject from a verb. And I've been given a front row seat at the American experience. I believe in the exceptionalism of America. I believe we have a great God, one that was willing to give his life. I love, for God so loved the world. I told the motivational speaker, I was up in D.C. several years ago, and he said, look at this, John 3:16, and he had my name there where he could write it, and we were having a good time of talking, and I tell you, I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. I know my hope doesn't rest in this world. I know my hope doesn't rest in whatever little I might have. I'm not trusting a portfolio. I'm not trusting some corporate banking system or health insurance legacy. My hope is in the blood. Amen. My hope is in the blood of the crucified one. I have no other foundation. I have no other claim, but only to say that I know Jesus is the Savior of all that will come to him. He wants to save people more than they want to be saved. And it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Brother Frank Shelton, I tell you what, you lit a fire around me, and I don't know that I've gotten this carried away. I've tried to keep it a little bit more, how should I say, formal, but I'm just down here to the basics today with you, my brother.
Well, thank you. And I pray that maybe we can do a tag team. Maybe we can do a luncheon, and whether I come to Indiana and get a chance to meet some of the local people and pastors and political leaders.
Would you be willing to come out here to our area?
Absolutely. Yes, I was telling Charles before we started, I've preached all over Indiana, Sullivan, Terre Haute, Indianapolis. I would love to get out there. I just last week in Delaware had the honor to speak at the mayor's prayer breakfast. And, you know, we want to be where the people are. So if you open the door, I'm on my way. I just want to leave your viewers with this. We told you how my ancestor had the honor to carry President Lincoln in England terms. He would have been considered the king of a nation, but we both know that the presidency is an institution, not an individual. But when I said my dad graduated from the FBI in 1978, what are the odds? But my daddy's roommate for 12 weeks in Quantico at the FBI National Academy was Bob Cantwell from Denver, who 7 years was a bodyguard to Elvis Presley. Matter of fact, wow. He was an honorary pallbearer. And when he died, Vernon Presley asked him to help carry the casket of Elvis. I'll leave you with this. When my ancestor carried Lincoln, he carried the king of a nation. When my dad's best friend at the FBI, his roommate, carried Elvis Presley, disc jockeys told me he carried the king of rock and roll. But you and Charles, all your listeners, myself, we don't carry the king of a nation. We don't carry the king of rock and roll. We carry the king of all kings. And now's the time. Amen. To walk worthy of him.
Amen. Oh, that's wonderful, brother. Well, you know, that Peterson house where they carried Lincoln, I've been in there. No doubt you have, probably many, many times.
I was there 2 weeks ago again.
Yeah. Oh, my. What a wonderful. Listen, my brother, I can't tell you. I wish I had the ability to express to you how much I have enjoyed. And I know that our viewers and people that are a part of our system here, I know that they are thrilled. They're thrilled that you have come to be with us today. You have invigorated me by your reference to the Holy Ghost and to the power of God. And that has just enabled me. I don't know. I may have to go out there and preach to my wife a little bit or something. It just, you got me fired up, Brother Frank. And thank you, and God bless you. And listen, let's not make this the last time we do this, okay?
I'd love to. Thank you, sir. And it's an honor, and I'd love to do it again. God bless you, and God bless all your friends. And thank you, Charles. God bless you.
Well, friends, Andrew Phipps here. And I'm thinking of the time of this taping that we have 28 days until November the 5th and the general election for the top offices in our nation, as well as state offices. And the stakes, I don't think, have been ever greater and probably have never been more delineated. The contrast between the Democratic candidate, Kamala Harris, and the Republican candidate, Donald Trump, could not be sharper. I think whether you look at personality or whatever, I look at policies, and the policies are so far apart, I think it should be very ostensible to each one that the decision-making ought to be made on who can best lead our country into the years ahead. As we have world tensions seemingly that are increasing, when we have the trouble spots in the Middle East, when we have an economy that's inflation has taken off, prices for groceries, fuel, housing, medical costs, even what we call leisure type stuff, whether it's eating out or going to a place of a ball game or something, seem like every time the price increase is so pronounced and so noticeable. We have to think about our borders, the security, or really the lack of it. The fact that we have maybe 11 million, and that could just be a base figure that may not even be relevant. It could be more, many more millions than that. When you have undocumented, or I refer to them as illegals in this country, who really knows? And we have people that have become a real burden because we didn't invite them here. They came many times by force. They came through illegally, invaded our boundaries, our borders, and came in here because an administration gave them free gravitas, gave them their not only their permission, but made it possible for them to violate our laws. I am convinced that it was done to get votes, that hopefully that these people will register under the banner of being Democratic voters. That's their thinking, I believe. Although we see in the Latino community that they have not embraced Kamala Harris, but I think that the policies, again, the ones that resonate with me are, do we want more inflation? Do we want unsecure borders? Do we want values that violate our Christian heritage, like transgender transformation surgeries on children? Do we want more funding for abortion, even right up to the time of the delivery of the baby? And some have even gone so far as to say that maybe the decision could be made to get rid of the child even after the baby is born. God help us. This is such a flagrant disregard for the teachings of Holy Scripture. And we have to make some choices. And whether we like everything, we have to make the choice on what's best for your family and mine, your children, mine, and your grandchildren and our grandchildren and so on. We have to think about who is best to stand up to these dictators around the world that want to take over and by force. Who would be the one person that you would believe to have the tenacity and to have the spirit of saying, look, we're defending America at all costs. And so we have to really apply some common sense to this coming election. I hope that you'll pray. And I know that many of you, or most of you that probably appreciate our programs, you're probably voting the way I am. But if there should be somebody out there that's truly deliberating about your choice making, I believe the choice is clear. It's no time to have somebody that's not adequate to the job description. This is the most powerful, most important position in the world. We don't need somebody that to make decisions on some far radical leftist Marxist type thinking. We need somebody that can speak with clarity, somebody that doesn't have to use a word salad trying to evade the issues and to avoid them and ends up saying nothing. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. Let's pray that all of our people help make the right decisions.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart, with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration, even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you will enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Do you have trouble finding King James scripture items? Has your local Christian bookstore closed down like ours has? Do you have trouble finding things for events at church or personal items for at home? Well, this is the reason I created Kinsman & Company. It is a totally King James scripture product store. And today, I'm glad to announce that we now have scripture cards. These have King James scripture on them. They're blank on the inside. And they have beautiful scriptures on the outside. And so these right here, these are the Woodland Friends. And they all have encouraging scripture that you could send to your friends and family with a little note inside to say how much you care. I also have, besides the Woodland Friends, I have this beautiful garden collection. They come in a nice box. There's 12 in here. Four designs, and you get three of each design with white envelopes. And then also, I have the lemon and lavender, which is so beautiful, that comes the same way. So anyway, if you're looking for a card that has King James scripture on it, please go to my website. It's Kinsman, as in the Kinsman Redeemer, K-I-N-S-M-A-N, and company.shop. And you can shop there, and you can find summer sales right now. Thank you.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Fame, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen. I feel the need that we need more good people to get involved in the body politics. If we don't do it, to whom will we give the assignment? Do we want to give it to the wicked? Do we want to give it to the people that are unwholesome? Do we want to give it to people that are in it just for themselves? Now, don't get me wrong. I know that there has been corruption on political fronts, political parties from time immemorial, but that does not excuse us from our responsibility. We have a duty to be good citizens. The Bible says in Romans 13, said, let all souls be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power except it be ordained of God. So I implore you that if you have an interest in a school board race, a county council position, an alderman, some places call it, commissioner, mayor, state representative, state senator, or even on the federal level for the U.S. Congress, go for it. Do your best. I mean, that's all we can do. Art Williams, who had the insurance company, once had a motto that said, all we can do is all we can do, and all we can do is enough. Well, I don't know how much that is. Supposedly, somebody asked Sam Walton, what is the difference between success and failure? And Sam Walton said about this much right here. Now, I don't know how much that is, but I do know that each one of us can strive to make a difference. We need people that are good people, people that trust God, that have a faith values, that believe in family, believe in traditional values. We need those kind of people to get involved. Don't let the others scare you away, or the money or whatever. I know it takes a lot of money, but you know, we can go out there and present our case, and who knows, it might be that God would just give us a great favor and be highly blessed, and we can make a difference, whether it's serving or whether it's just being involved. We don't always have to have a position. Sometimes we can just serve within the structure of the party. Maybe we can go and put out signs or help, or, you know, help seal envelopes or stamps on envelopes, and work somewhere that we can get a message out. Be affiliated with a good Bible-believing fundamental church and do community service as best you can. Don't shy away from it. I mean, there's nothing that prohibits or precludes your being involved politically. Don't let somebody tell you that because you're a Christian and go to church that there's no place for political aspirations or involvement. That's ridiculous. We need to be involved. We need people like you that will rise to the occasion and be like the writer in the old book, the prophet, and say, Lord, here am I, send me. We need to be like Samuel in the Bible when he heard the voice of the Lord. And we can hear that through the Bible. We can read and study, and the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us. And I'm not talking about audible voices. I'm talking about when we get in tune with the Lord, I can assure you he will be in tune with us. And I hope that this discussion will continue as well.